Good morning. You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin, Bob Hinkle, and Jerry McNeely. Today, we're talking about some bluegrass. What's going on in the world of acoustic music, especially what's up with all of the covers that we find these days?
Wow, I might have to throw that to Jerry. He was just talking about that. He was talking about how in bluegrass, it seems like it's not just old bluegrass covers. It seems like there's a lot of rock and roll covers happening.
Seems like in the last couple months. That's right. Every disc that comes into the station, now I am exaggerating a little there, but just so many numbers. I actually contemplated doing an entire hour a couple months ago of Mountain Mornings of just 70s and 80s rock and pop tunes done bluegrass style that were all new releases, but I thought somebody might break into the station and try to choke me if I did that.
It would get it out of your system.
You know, I think the more I thought about it, the more I think it boils down to there are very few folks anymore. The world's just not as rural as it used to be, who grew up just on bluegrass and old time and church and gospel music. So many of us have in our past that little bit of rock and roll that we flirted with in high school. How about you, Carol?
Actually, not too much.
I was
not too much. I'm completely ignorant. I flirted with folk music.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, real hippie folk music.
So I think maybe it's the fact that a lot of these folks just want to recapture something that in a lot of ways is maybe taboo in the bluegrass world, but well, at the same time kind of get their rock on.
Yeah, that familiarity.
I would also venture to guess that there is a draw towards bluegrass music from people that didn't grow up on bluegrass or acoustic music at all, and this is sort of their portal that's like, hey, this music is safe for you too.
Right, being able to market themselves to folks who are intimidated by the high lonesome sound a little bit. I don't know. I think I'm about finished with it. We were talking about that a little earlier too. It's just a little much. When Skaggs and Hornsby came out with Super Freak together doing the old Rick James cover, I wonder
if they triggered
that
it.
Cracked
I mean, people
me up.
Have always done a little bit of pop cover in bluegrass.
Yeah, I mean,
but not a lot.
Flat
like and Third Time Out.
Used to do Bob Dylan tune every
right,
once in
and
a
Third
while.
Time Out doing Only You.
Right.
No, they were kind of isolated instances, though.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just think I'm a little past it because where do we draw the line? For example, I was at Merlefest.
Should we draw the line?
A few years ago and saw a cover of a Britney Spears song performed on main stage at Merlefest.
Gotta be kidding me.
No, I'm not. Chris
I'm impressed
Thiele's,
you knew it was a Britney Spears.
They announced from stage that it was. It was Chris Thiele and Sarah Watkins. Yeah. And
that was going to be incriminating if you knew
it
already.
The entirety of Nickel Creek. But,
no kidding.
You just kind of, I don't know. Well, where am I supposed to draw the line that I can love something as much as I love bluegrass?
Well, I think that one of the things that seems to be happening all over the place in all the genres that I know about is the edges are melting off of them. You know, they're not as cut and dried as they used to be. Almost nothing's black and white, so you got to respect that fact. Although I understand that, you know, you can only take so much cod liver oil, and that's what we're dealing with here, and I understand that.
Well, I like the way you put that. The edges are melting off of things. I think that's happened in particular with bluegrass music. It's going through a lot of changes.
It is going through a lot of changes, and yet trying real hard to stay the same. I think it's gone way afield in a lot of ways, but all of a sudden lately it seems to me like there's a real embracing of traditionalism. Like the Crow Brothers have had the longest running number one hit on a lot of radio, and it's a Leuven Brothers cover, a real old traditional bluegrass, you know, World War II kind of number. And all of a sudden, you know, it seems like we had gone away from the rootsy stuff, and everything had to be original and progressive, and all of a sudden the old stuff is getting cool again. So maybe it's that whole yin and yang of things go far afield, and then maybe with recession we're looking for roots and folk music again.
Well, and maybe for that sound too. It seems to a certain extent that sound is making a resurgence too, where it has more of a feeling of being in a parlor, the way the albums are being produced and the way they're being mixed and all the little technical traits that I'm not, you know, I just know how things come across to me as having a real parlor setting kind of a feel. as opposed to what we were laughingly referring to a few months ago as the digigrass sound, where everything was so super slick and very polished and mastered very, very hot so that it bent the needles on the soundboard when we played it at the station. Right. I've been hearing a lot more, like you say, of a resurgence of kind of the old school of bluegrass.
It does seem all of a sudden like the pendulum is swinging back. I know I don't know if you've listened to Sam Bush's new recording or not. I just got the advance of that, and I didn't know who it was when I put it on in the player. Anyway, the first tune was this real traditional, almost old-timey cut, and I thought, wow. And then I read the thing, and it said full circle. Sam Bush has come full circle back to traditional music, and maybe he's leading the pack there, and lots of other folks are coming back to traditional music because the Crow Brothers are knocking it out with some really great traditional stuff.
And Balsam Range.
And yeah, Balsam Range, yeah. Look at Balsam Range. It's number one on the charts in there. Look at Steve Martin's on the road with the Steve Canyon Rangers on a 16 city tour. And Steve Martin is nominated. I mean, what is that? This is a really interesting topic in bluegrass right now. Steve Martin is nominated for 6 IBMA awards.
I think he's done a lot for introducing people who wouldn't have gone out and bought a bluegrass record into bluegrass.
And he can either play. He can either play or he can't, and he can.
Yeah, he can play.
He's actually a good player.
He's a and think about all the people. I haven't gotten a chance to see Steve live yet, but
I'm looking forward to Mountain Songs. He's coming to the Mountain Songs.
Yeah, I have to anticipate that a lot of his performance ability is going to rely not necessarily on his ability to play the banjo. Think about some of the fine performers in bluegrass music history. That were great players, don't get me wrong, but like
Little Roy Lewis,
you know, for goodness sake. It lied in their ability to stand in front of a crowd.
So you're going to look at him playing, and you're going to see him in all of the characters that he played in all the movies, right?
Right.
Playing the banjo.
I mean, who doesn't want a bluegrass concert from The Jerk?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's true. I mean, Steve Martin could probably stand on his head and play banjo, and we wouldn't care. We'd be wanting to hear him be funny.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, the other thing is that the traditional music, as I have seen it develop, is also getting into areas it's never been before with younger people who never had it before, and that may be have something to do with the genre, the edge going off the genres. I lived in New York City for 40 years, and in Brooklyn, where I lived, there was a place called Red Hook, and Red Hook was down by the docks, a place that was where everybody who worked there, his nose seemed to have taken a sudden turn to the right for a number of years. And now there's about 6 or 7 bluegrass clubs there, and people are going there and tour. It's a stop on the road. And it's a rough New York neighborhood, but that's a real toehold for traditional music in New York City.
Well, I think the kids that are getting involved in the bluegrass music are a blessing to the fans everywhere. And you might not necessarily like all of the new bluegrass music you hear. And you might not necessarily even think that all of the music you hear that people call bluegrass is bluegrass, but that's not the discussion, and I won't have that one.
I know.
But what is and what
old-time,
is not?
Old-time music is
what
exactly
is and
the
what
same.
What isn't bluegrass music? I don't want to get into that conversation. But
I've started referring to everything as mountain music that isn't bluegrass.
It's safe. But, you know, I think it's a blessing, and these kids are going to be the future of these record labels and the future folks you're going to see on stage at these festivals. And bluegrass music is alive and well right now. It's making money, and that's one thing that
that's
a lot
amazing.
Of genres of music can't claim. They're still
true.
We were talking about upper class and lower class and musicians amongst friends here a while back, and how Bob here had made the reference that the middle class of musicians was gone, and I think in a lot of that a lot of forms of music that's true. There's either you're either on top or you're scratching out a living, but there are a lot of bluegrass musicians who are still able to get out there and play 100 dates a year and go to festivals and make a living at it. And by
bluegrass has always been a middle class, working class.
It sure has.
Sure. I mean, a famous star in bluegrass probably made the same amount as a plumber, whereas a famous star in rock and roll made, you know. Well, of course, some plumbers make really a lot of money, but as opposed to what Madonna makes or something. Right.
Those guys had the gold fixtures in their bathroom.
Right, or on their bus, or in their trailer.
Right.
Bluegrass players just have gold tuners on their master tone.
Gold tuners on their master
Or on their teeth if they're lucky.
But it certainly was never highly paid. And, of course, old time and folk has never been. You know, you can probably count on both hands the number of people that have ever earned a living playing it.
Yeah, so. Some of the best players I know drive dump trucks, and
right.
and you know, weren't maintenance.
An awful lot of bluegrass musicians work for this.
These are famous people too. I'm not talking about just
right.
You know,
yeah.
Well, I live in Black Mountain, talking about bluegrass players working for the state. I keep threatening the people that work for the town of Black Mountain because they all play something. They're all a banjo player or a mandolin player or something. And I keep saying there ought to be a Black Mountain town band.
Call right. them the Public you know, Works.
Yeah, Public yeah. Works. Exactly.
Public Works. Oh, Jerry, you need to,
so
you need
work
to
on
start
them.
That one. Oh, that's great. And you have a new home for your practice.
There you go.
There you go. The Public Works. You heard it here first on What It Is. What are your thoughts? Email us whatitis@wncw.org. The changing face of acoustic, mountain music, bluegrass here on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Jerry McNeely, Bob Hinkle, and Carol Rifkin. Until next time.